St. Luke tells us that Jesus gave us this parable to speak to us about the necessity of praying always without becoming weary. Prayer, as we know, to the soul is like breath to the body. Without breathing, we suffocate and we die. Without prayer, the soul suffocates and dies in sin and falls away from God. But God wants us to have life and to have it in its fullness. The fall season, to me, is a beautiful, beautiful time of year. The bright October skies, the cooler temperatures feel wonderful. The lower humidity, the changing of colors, all these wonderful things. The gathering of the earth's bounty in hunting and in harvests. It's absolutely appropriate that in our nation we set aside a day in the fall, toward the end of autumn in November, to give thanks, to pause and give thanks for the beauty and the bounty of nature brought forth by the hand of God. Sadly, and increasingly so, what should be for us a season of gratitude has become a season of greed. At the very end of summer, just before Labor Day, store shelves began displaying this very odd combination of green witches and green wreaths, of skeleton bones and jingle bells, of creepy haunted mansions on the side of peaceful nativity stables. One side you hear creaks and shrieks and moans, and the other side you hear carols and season's greetings and Merry Christmas. But all these things are crying out to the passerby, buy us, consume us, have things, get things, give things for others to have, consume, 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 and so we do. And why do we do these things? Because generally speaking, as a nation, we're very empty. We're empty and starving. And because we're empty and starving, we will consume anything, anything including poison and garbage, so as not to feel the pain of psychological, emotional, or spiritual hunger. We will do whatever it takes to feed our narcissism because we cut ourselves off from God. And St. Augustine so beautifully states, God made us for himself and our hearts will always be restless, will literally starve unless they rest in and are fed by God himself. So in the end, after gorging ourselves on a buffet of pride and vanity, of sensuality, human respect, and creature comforts, we're still just as emaciated and malnourished as ever. We have spit out the bread of life and instead swallowed the world's toxins. This calls, brothers and sisters, for a renewal of the mind, as St. Paul would say, a shift in our focus, a reorientation of the soul. That is, in a word, conversion. The first step in conversion is recognizing that the direction of our country, the direction of our entire world, directly correlates to the directions of the hearts and minds of human beings. Somehow, somewhere, someone must make a change in course. And we as Christians are the very ones chosen by God to show what the world is meant to have, what the world is meant to be, to set everything aright by going back toward God. This is done collectively as one body, one church, united to Christ and one another through our baptism, and it finds its momentum and its energy in faith and in grace. It calls us to go back to what St. Paul told Timothy. Remain faithful to what you've learned and believed because you know from whom you learned it. And that from infancy you've known the sacred scriptures which are capable of giving you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is what God has given to us. His word in scripture about loving and serving him, loving and serving one another. This is the wisdom for salvation that we have in our faith in Christ Jesus. And this is something that Christ Jesus wants us to bring to the world to know the love, the knowledge, the mercy of God. Faith and grace are sustained by one thing, and that is prayer. None of us can accomplish any good thing. None of us have any hope in the possibility of salvation without sincere, constant prayer. And prayer, as we all know, takes many forms. We're engaged in an active prayer right this minute, the greatest of all prayers in the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And in the Mass, we find the very essence of prayer, which is sacrifice. It's an offering of ourselves to the Father for Christ as Christ offered himself to the Father for us. It's a lifting up, an offering to God of our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies, our wills, everything. A surrendering of ourselves to him who surrendered himself for us. He gives us nourishment of the mind in his word. He gives us nourishment of body and soul in the Eucharist. He offers himself as literal food. Our minds nourished by the pure bread of sacred scripture, our souls nourished by the word made flesh in the Eucharist. And in this glorious union of God and man on earth, we find a foretaste of our eternal union with God in heaven. So when you think about these things, what else can we feel but a sense of profound awe, a sense of profound reverence and gratitude, giving God praise, honor and glory, thanksgiving for the Lamb who once was slain but now lives forever, gives us his own life. Adoration, glory, surrender, and supplication, all these things are the foundation of the Christian life. We all know that without worship, without adoring, without glorifying God in prayer, without giving him our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies, without giving God our wills, without giving all to his love and providence, without seeking his will for us, without seeking his face, without knowing his commands and keeping them, without conforming ourselves for Christ, without casting our total dependence on him, then nothing good is ever accomplished. As St. Paul says, if we sow in the flesh, we reap a harvest of corruption. But if we plant in the Spirit, we reap a harvest of abundant fruit, the fruit of grace. To help us in that, and thinking about the words of St. Paul again to Timothy, he says, all scripture is inspired by God, is useful for teaching, for refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the one who belongs to God may be competent and equipped for every good work. I think about an ancient practice of prayer, very ancient practice called Lectio Divina in Latin, in other words, sacred reading in English. Lectio Divina has been a sure and steady pathway of prayer for countless saints throughout the ages in the church. And all it is simply reading and meditating on scripture, in particular the Gospels, to examine, reflect on, and to internalize the life, the words, and the actions of Jesus. Basically, it's approaching scripture as a good meal. You take one small bite at a time, you chew slowly, you taste it, you savor the flavor, letting it become part of you. Approaching scripture in that fashion begins to have us internalizing Christ, beginning to think and to act like Jesus. Think, reflect, act. In doing this, we converse heart to heart, person to person with Christ. We ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and direction, for wisdom in making good choices that make us more like Jesus. To think with the mind of Christ, to think with the mind of the church, to approach her teachings in the same manner with scripture, one small bite at a time, and put into practice the teachings of Christ with the church throughout the world and throughout the ages. And St. Paul says, I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, proclaim his word. Proclaim his word in what you do. Proclaim his word in what you say. Proclaim his word in what you are. Become one with the word of scripture and the word made flesh in the Eucharist. And be persistent. Whether convenient or inconvenient, convince, reprimand, encourage all through patience and teaching. It's all an act of love. May this beautiful time of year be a time for all of us, a time of gratitude, a time for reflection, a time for receiving God's blessings and offering him our thanks and praise. Let it be a time of grace. May it also be a time that turns us away from the works of greed and toward God's love, a time of conversion that restores a sense of peace. In the coming weeks, the church's liturgical year will end with the Feast of Christ the King, and throughout November, we're going to reflect on our own mortality and eternal life before reflecting on Christ's second coming during Advent. And St. Paul says that Christ will come again as judge of the living and the dead. Jesus asks in the Gospels whether he would find faith from the earth whenever he returns. But I think that if we Christians, actually dedicated ourselves to prayer and to living the gospel as Jesus teaches us, then as a result of constant prayer and faith and hope and living of the word, we may very boldly say that yes, Christ will find faith as we cry out to him Yes, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done.